Ladies and gentlemen, thank you again for tuning in to Unarmored Talk Podcast. We have another guest who was willing to remove their armor to help other people develop an accurate way of thinking. Thank you so much for the rating and reviews. Keep them coming. Truly appreciate it. And if you want to watch this episode on TV, right, or on your favorite playing device, go to my YouTube channel. That's Mario P. Fields YouTube. Put that in the search engine. It will pop up. So, you guys ready? Well, let's get ready to get into the show. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Unarmored Talk Podcast. I am your host, Mario P. Fields. And today's guest, who is someone who's willing to have a real life conversation and remove her armor to help others, the one and only Dr. Robin Odegaard.
Ooh, the crowd goes wild.
You can hear. Well, hold on. Let me do it one more time. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, doctor.
Welcome. That's so ridiculous.
You mind if I call you Robin?
I hope you would. This is what my mama named me.
Robin, nice to meet you. Robin, again, nice to have you on the show and your quick hits. Ladies and gentlemen, if you guys haven't seen her quick hits on LinkedIn, you got to check them out. Quick hits. She's in, she's out. Very thought provoking topics. You know, I got to give you plugs. I watch them, Robin.
So
get on LinkedIn, check out her quick hits, get in there and get some discussions going. And it's daily, right?
I do. I post them every day, 5 days a week.
Man, that's a lot of commitment.
There's a fine line between bravery and stupidity sometimes.
Right. But you can tell it's a passion. You can tell that you just enjoy it.
I love the conversations. I started it because I was intellectually lonely. I missed having real conversations with real human beings. So
right.
I just bring a panel of people together and we have a topic for, four people, one topic, 10 minutes.
Great nice. Time. I like it. Well, can you tell the listeners and viewers just a little bit about yourself, Robin?
Oh, you want the litany? All right, here we go. You ready?
Hold on.
Former competitive beach volleyball player turned high performance psychologist with continuing education in nutrition. My clients call me a smoke jumper. They say that I parachute in and help them fight the fires from the inside. I've written 3 books and done a TEDx talk. There you go.
Wow. Well, you know, I'm 5'2½", so I'm stuck on the beach thing. I'm like, well, she's definitely not 5'2".
I'm not. My husband's 5'6".
You know, my listeners and viewers always know they're with Mario again. He's comfortable with his height. You know, I love, that's why I always tell people, I was like, man, I'm cool. I stopped growing when I was in the second grade. So, I'm cool.
It's all good.
Well, so here's the deal. Let's jump right into the topic. We see this. I can only speak for me. I see this doctor, very positive, very professional, doing quick hits, having intellectual discussions, looks so positive. I see the degrees, the accomplishments. To me, it looks like you just had this amazing, amazing household. Mom and dad were wonderful. And you just enjoy life, went on to college. But I don't think that's the case, Robin. What happened at about 16?
So first, we have to start with the fact that I come from a very patriarchal family. So my father makes the rules and he taught at the high school that I went to. And the rule that he made for me was that I was not allowed to accept or turn down dates. If someone asked me out, the only thing I was allowed to say was, you have to go ask my dad.
And that was for any
date,
any request,
didn't matter. And every boy who ever got brave and went and said, hey, I'd like to take your daughter out, my dad gave what I called the God speech and then told them no. Never did he say yes.
Wow. So never, ever did he say yes to anybody who had the courage to ask dad.
Until.
Okay.
16 years old. We're in Chicago for my grandparents' 50th wedding anniversary. There's a friend of the family there who is 27. He goes up to my dad. Well, he comes to me first. And he says, hey, you want to go to the arcade? So I'm dating myself. Yes, he wanted to take me to the arcade.
Right.
So he asked me, of course.
We know you're 27 right now.
Yeah, I'm 27.
We'll give you. You want to go 30? We'll just give you 30. Keep it
So he says, do you want to go to the arcade? I say, you have to ask my dad.
Right.
And I figured that's the end of it. It's always been the end of it. I've never, ever been, you know, on a date ever.
Right.
25 minutes later, he says, all right, let's go. And I'm like, what happened? And he says to me, well, I just went up and said, hey, can I take your daughter to the arcade? And he said, sure, if you let me drive your car. He was driving a 76 Stingray with T-tops, candy apple red with flames on the side.
Okay. Oh, wow.
So I have never fought. I never, ever fought so hard for my virginity as I did that night in that car.
Wow. And here you are, 16.
And he's 27.
And dad has declined all the fellas your age. Mm-hmm. And now this gentleman who's almost looking at 30, right? I use that cliche kind of. And dad goes, absolutely.
And so, you know, I thought that would be the end of it. We went back. I grew up in California. We went back to California and he lived in North Carolina. He went back to North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
But he started calling me. And because I was, you know, polite and kind and whatever, I started taking his phone calls. So we were having chats or whatever. And I remember, so this is my junior year in high school. Another boy called and my dad was like, well, you can't talk to him. You're dating this other guy. And I'm like, I'm not dating him. I talked to him. He's like, no, you're dating him. So my dad refused to let me talk to anyone else.
Wow.
For my 17th birthday, he flew out and took me to dinner and he gave me this really cute little heart-shaped ring with little diamonds and a ruby on it for my birthday. Okay, fine. Whatever.
Yeah, you're not thinking anything of it. Okay.
I'm not 17. Thinking any of it.
Hey, that okay. Thank you so much for this little
so cute. Whatever. Yes, nice.
So tender.
So August. So I'm 17 and a half years old. My dad comes to me and says, he asked for your hand in marriage, and I said yes.
Wow. Like,
what? And my dad says, well, you accepted a promise ring from him 8 months ago.
Wait a minute. So
that face is exactly the face I made.
Again, ladies and gentlemen, and the thing I love about this podcast is I'm learning this during this podcast. This is not like this is information that I had. And so, hold on. So your dad's like, hey, you accepted a promise ring from him. And because you accepted that ring and he asked to marry you, I'm saying absolutely.
And because I grew up in such a patriarchal system where I didn't believe I had a choice. I mean, I have code words with my brothers that if I need help with something and right. I can't get what I need to have happen, I call my brothers and say, hey, I need a Y chromosome. Wow, so it's a running joke in our family.
Wow. So you guys developed your own like set of code, like top secret, you know, codes to communicate where, mm-hmm. where mom and dad, right? No one could decipher except your brothers.
Hey, I need a Y chromosome is basically there's something going down here. And because I'm female, I'm not getting the power I need. I'm not getting heard. Can you come and help me? And so because I was groomed in that way, it never occurred to me that I shouldn't, that I should say, no, I don't want to get married. That's not what I want to do. I just kind of was like, okay, I guess that's what's happening next in my life then. And so my senior year in high school, I spent working and paying for a wedding. And
wait a minute, doctor. I'm sorry, Robert, you got me all messed up. So your senior year in high school, you worked to pay for a wedding that your dad is making you have.
Well, I thought it was my wedding. I mean, he told me that I was supposed to do it and I was doing it because I was a good girl and I wanted my daddy to be proud of me. But yes, I worked to pay for my wedding. I think if I remember correctly, my parents paid for my dress and the cake, I think.
And you covered the rest of the cost.
And it wasn't a huge cost. I got married at a friend's farm outside and blah, blah. But the interesting thing about that is my husband didn't pay for any.
Yeah, that was going to be my next question is, okay.
But we'll get to that. I'll tell you why in a minute.
Oh, yeah.
First, you have to know that just before we walked down the aisle, the last thing my father said to me was, you are no longer welcome in my home as a single woman.
Stay with us. We'll be right back. I'm Michael Sievers, the writer, producer, and creator of The Silver King's War, a podcast series about my father's Second World War as a B-26 bombardier. Stanley L. Silverfield, a first lieutenant in the United States Army Air Corps from Birmingham, Alabama, rode in the nose, the greenhouse of the famed Martin Marauder. You can find The Silver King's War wherever you listen to podcasts.
So essentially, right before you got married, your dad said, essentially, if you don't stay married forever, don't ever come back home.
Right. And
this is right before. So what, yeah. Robin, what emotions? I just got to ask. I mean, this is unarmored talk. What at this point, what emotions are you experiencing?
Well, so I'm a teenager. Right. And I'm getting ready to get married and I have on a big white dress. And, you know, so at the time, I wasn't smart enough to know better. I mean, I looking back, obviously, I'm like, oh, my words you shouldn't say on public podcasts. But
we'll just stop recording. Then we go ahead.
My aunts and uncles, like they knew, they came back to me afterwards, years and years later, after I got divorced, and were like, yeah, we knew. I'm like, could someone have like thrown me a clue?
A Y chromosome?
Given me some help, you know, whatever. But
yeah.
So it, you know, it just was what it was. And so I graduated from high school, valedictorian, and 3 weeks later I got married and was moved clear across the country.
To where did
North Carolina,
the Carolinas. So here it is, you know, you're having this, you know, you're growing up like, you know, right. You're a teenager, you're looking at life in the eyes of a teenager for you, Robin. Dad has denied every request from every young man. Short, tall, didn't matter. That's no, you know, gives him this kind of keynote speech and then declines the offer. And then all of a sudden, randomly, some almost 30-year-old, 20, we'll get accurate, 27-year-old goes, hey, just want to take her to the arcade. And it turns into a wedding, an arranged wedding. Now you're off in the Carolinas.
Mm-hmm.
Now what?
So I have 7 siblings. I'm the oldest of 7. So I went from living in a house, 3-bedroom house, 1-bathroom with full of people, to living in North Carolina by myself with a man who didn't have a job because he was on legal leave of absence for going 110 in a 55 and had lost his license. So he didn't have a job. And at the time, it didn't occur to me that if he doesn't have a job, where's he going every day? But he wasn't ever home. And so I was so lonely and so depressed, and we couldn't afford to call home because, oh, he's really badly in debt. He's not very bright and he has a drug problem. So,
oh my gosh.
But he did me the very first favor, and that was he made me get a job. Married women in my family don't work. Mm. And he made me get a job because he needed the money to pay the bills.
Right.
And that I have to thank him for.
Right. And I love how, you know, you find opportunities in moments of crisis. And here it's a moment of crisis. You're in North Carolina. You're starting to learn more about the man that you were told to marry, realizing that his qualities are pretty low and he's got more challenges than any adult you've ever seen. But he creates this opportunity where now you can work because you're out of that belief system, you know, that was in your household. So are you, you know, are things going right? Are you, you know, you're working, things are, you know, the money starts to come in. Does he change?
Oh, no, there's no changing. There's no changing. It's definitely, and it's interesting because I never considered myself very smart, but I always had intelligent friends. And if there was a drug deal in low life within 5 minutes, he would find them. Like he just was attracted to the, and so if we had parties, it would be like 2 separate parties. It would be my friends, you know, being drinking wine and being civil, reasonable humans, right, and his friends being obnoxious and rude and me trying to not have the cops called on us. And it was just this interesting dichotomy for the entirety of our marriage of like, what a mess, but I couldn't go home. What was I going to do? Where was I going to go? So, you know what? suck it up, buttercup, figure it out.
Right. And at one point, at a point during this journey in your life, did you get like discouraged? Where did you go, man, this is going to be the rest of my life?
Well, I knew 6 months in that it was not forever. I didn't know how long it was going to be. I had no idea how I was going to get out. I didn't know any of that, but I knew 6 months in, this is a disaster and this is not going to be forever.
I like that how your thought process was, I have no idea what the future holds, but I do know, what I do know is this current situation.
This is not it.
And that's good, because I think that's good for the listeners and viewers to understand that your current situation, good or bad, you know, you make that decision. It's not forever, whatever it is.
And I think the other thing I want them to take away from this is that you can be groomed into doing things that are totally against your best interest and be okay with it. And then realize that was dumb. And then you know what you have to do? Change your mind.
Right. Change your mind. So now you've been married for how long? How long were you married? You know,
I was married to him for 8 years. Well, I lived with him for 8 years before he threw me out.
So let's talk about that.
Well, first you have to ask him, why did you marry her? And I did ask him that question. And he told me, because I was good stock.
Wait a minute. So he said the reason why he married you, because you were good stock.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean?
So I think it means that because, you know, I grew up very, women stay home and they take care of the husbands and they like all of those, they have the babies and men kind of do whatever they want. He thought that's what he was getting.
So at what point did he go, I thought you were good stock. No, your stock is.
Well, great. So you have to understand. So I didn't learn until about 2 or 3 years ago why he actually threw me out. The story I got at the time, so I'm in my mid late 20s, and he says to me, I don't love you. I don't want to be married to you. And I don't want you living in my house, which was a slab of concrete, a plywood wall, and tin roof. I had to cut the grass in the bedroom because it grew under the wall. So you don't get much more redneck than that. And he said, you are lazy. And this is what he told my father. He said, she's lazy. So he threw me out. Of course, I was like, sayonara. Thank you very much. But my father called me and said to me, if you had been appropriately submissive, you would have been able to make it work. And my dad forbid me. So he forbid me to keep my name when I got married, and he forbid me to take the name back when I got divorced. Now, could my father forbid me from taking a name? No, I'm a grown human. Call myself right. Whatever I want. But I'm also no longer that person. So that name isn't mine anymore. Does that make sense?
Oh, that makes complete sense. I am just amazed, you know. Yeah.
You want to hear the hysterical part of this story? Actual reason he asked me to leave?
Absolutely.
Apparently, he had gotten involved with a drug cartel. And the cocaine ring that he was involved with wanted to use his identity for nefarious purposes. And they realized that I was bright, and because I did the bills of the household, that I would recognize what was happening. So they told him, you'll do better off without her. We can do so much better than her. You need to get her out of your life. And so he did.
So he complied.
So I have a cocaine ring to thank for getting me out of a bad marriage.
Robin, this is just amazing. Wow. You're 16. It's just, this is amazing. And it was your husband's affiliation with a drug cartel that created an opportunity for you to thrive and heal and shine to the professional you are today. I would have never, ever guessed.
Well, and I can't say, oh, and after that, everything was roses and sunshine. Mm-hmm. I had to make my own mistake after that.
Absolutely.
That's probably a different show.
We might have to do another one. I mean, it's on Armor Talk. We might have to do Robin Part 2. Looking back on that, looking back on that specific journey, mm-hmm. and then having your own father, one, marry you off to this man, mm-hmm. and then two, blame you for mm-hmm. his choices. Mm-hmm. How did that, what emotions did you experience during that one?
So when my father first called me and told me that I was, you know, not appropriately submissive, that I was doing a disservice, that I was, you know, sinning and all of the things, going to hell and all the things that come out of someone's mouth when they're doing that, I felt a lot of shame. I felt a lot of shame for failing, for not being able to do it, for not being good enough, for, you know, not meeting my father's expectations. And there's a part of me, there's a little girl who still thinks that her daddy is perfect.
Right.
And I miss that man who walked on water. I remember telling teachers at school, well, my daddy says.
Right.
I was so proud of my daddy. And I know that when he passes, my father is still alive and we do still have a relationship as long as we stay on very specific subjects.
Right.
I know when he passes, I'm going to cry for the man who he was when I was a little girl. And right. I miss him and I wish we could have that back. So at first I felt shame, but now, because he still does periodically try to shame me about ridiculous things.
Right.
And now I just go all Amazon warrior and tell him that he needs to be friends with his children on earth.
And I'm pretty sure you do it in an eloquent way, you know, where it's very professional and a person can walk away going, did Robin just tell me that I'm horrible?
I can be wicked mean if I'm not careful.
Oh, I know. I mean, as someone who's been through that, I'm pretty sure you have the flexibility and skills, you know, to do that. So,
but you know, and I don't cut people for like only to defend myself or defend people I love.
Right.
That's right. It. I'm very careful. I've learned to manage that part of me, but I can be. Yeah.
And you know, again, the time I got to know you, I can tell that you're very sympathetic, empathetic, but you have the capability, right? You have the soft skill, mm-hmm. the human skill to go, okay, enough is enough.
Yeah.
Enough is enough.
And I, you know, he will double down. He'll double down on being mean. And I'm like, no, you do not get to treat me that way. You gave me away. The man you gave me to threw me out. I am free and clear. Thank you very much.
I've paid my debt, my friend. I'm free and clear. There's no liens on this property.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Wow. Well, if there's anything that you could leave our listeners and viewers in regards to what you experienced early in your life and then look at you today, what would you leave them?
I guess the thing that is important to remember is that you cannot heal an infection if you keep it buried. So if you keep your armor on and you have an infection brewing underneath, you cannot heal that. You have to take off the scar tissue and the anger and the hate and the bitterness especially, take that off and really start looking at, it may not be my fault, but it is my problem. And I am responsible for figuring it out. Because once you get to that point, then you have a chance to heal.
No, I truly appreciate it. Guys, ladies and gentlemen, you guys heard it from Robin. Today is today, but it's not going to be the same forever. And if you don't remove your armor, it'll just continue to wear you out and you cannot thrive and heal in your life. Robin. Doctor, she, you know, we talked about this. I'm just messing with it. Doctor.
That's me. I worked hard for it.
I know you did. But Robin, I truly, from the bottom of my heart, appreciate you removing your armor to be a guest on the Armor Talk podcast.
Thanks for having me, allowing me to share.
No worries. How can people find you if they want to find
Robin? Well, if they're watching this video, they can see my name right up there, drrobinodegaard.com. That's the easiest place to find me. I'm also, obviously, as you mentioned at the top, on LinkedIn, same name. If you are listening to an audio version and you can't see the video, then you can find me at champperformance.com. It's easier to spell than Odegaard, but it takes you to the same place.
Nice. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you guys heard it. Please follow her, look her up, get on those quick hits. Again, Robin, thank you so much for blessing the show.
Thank you for having me.
Well, we just heard it, ladies and gentlemen, from Dr. Robin Odegaard. I mean, your dad tells you who you're marrying. You go off to some place far away from home just to find out that
he can't drive, and oh my goodness, and he's on drugs, and you name it. And then fate happens. And what did Robin do? Take a situation and turn it into a positive, where now, years later, she is healing and thriving, and she's just starting. No matter what your situation is, always remember it's temporary. And if you think through it, you can improve the outcome and increase the probability of a positive outcome of those situations. Take care. See you guys soon.